So we spent the last week discussing, learning inside the Chai Adam, the laws of Amira La'akum. That has given us a very good background. I know I walked away a lot more confused than we started. But Baruch Hashem, at least it opened up, at least for me it opened up my mind, all the different issues, ideas, yesodos, concepts that are relevant, that are found in the sugyas of Amira La'akum. Now what I would like to do for a day or two, I don't think more than 2 days, maybe I don't think more than 2 days, I just want to go over with you, I'll go over in order, Mila B'Mila, what Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn wrote in his Sefer, The Sanctity of Shabbos. It's a fantastic Sefer. It was published a very, very long time ago, 1988. Okay, 1988. Wow, it's a long time ago. Before I was born. 1988. He published a sefer.
He's
and
an older man.
No.
And he's it's he's more than 62. He's 60. Yeah, about that.
Okay, it's a fantastic sefer. You see, the enormous amount of research effort went into the Sefer, and he presents the laws of Amira La'akum in a very practical way for us, relating to all of the modern issues of today. And even though he wrote this in 1988 and now it's 2017, nothing has changed. It's 100% relevant to our times. So let's just run the lot of things he mentions over here that are not, the Chai Adam does not touch upon, does not mention. So let's just run through. On the one hand, there will be a chazara. On the other hand, there will be a. It definitely brings out new ideas. The first thing, the first very simple thing is why is Amira La'akum asus? I told you two, there are really three reasons. The Ramban's reason, which I didn't mention to you, is shaloi tehekala de'enaf. If you tell a guy, the reason why Chazal stepped in and said you're a person and not tell a guy do malach on Shabbos is because if you tell a guy do malach for you on Shabbos, the whole. The violation of being Mechal Shabbos becomes in your eyes something very lightweight. It's no big deal. Chil Shabbos, big deal. Look, I tell the guy to do Malacha. I tell him to do Malacha. He does Malacha. He does it for me. He does it in front of me. All the Lamed has Malachas. Excuse me. And before you turn around, a person that's so lightweight in his eyes, he himself will come to do Malacha. The words of the Rambam are Shaloi Tihyeh Shabbos Kala be'einehem. This is the time the Rambam gives for the prohibition that Chazal enacted not to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos or not to derive benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew did for you without him asking. Because if you're going to be indented from the malacha or you're going to ask him to do the malacha, it becomes kala be'einehem, it becomes lightweight in your eyes. Okay, the second prohibition is, which the second prohibition comes from Rashi, Masechta Avodah Zarah. The reason why you're not allowed to do, well, I'll read you the words of Rashi, Masechta Avodah Zarah. Masha Osu Li Yisrael Loima Aloiv Kuchad Ma'aseh Li Kach Zer Mishum Mintzoy Chefzecha V'daber Dovar Dibur Osar. Rashi Shita Avodah Zarah, you may not ask a guy to Malacha because you're speaking in a way that is not permitted to do on Shabbos. We discussed this. I mentioned to you that the person there, because you talk about the World Series, Astros, Dodgers, Chaval, oh, so close to what happened, right? So everyone is a different madrig. That you can't tell a person what to do. That person has to decide if it's on his madrig, if it's the right thing to talk about on Shabbos. But there is one basic halacha which everyone is mechuyif to do to fulfill what it says in Yeshaya, the daber davar, the dibur shel Shabbos may not be like the dibur shel chol. That is fulfilled specifically in the prohibition to ask a non-Jew to do for you a malacha. That's where it is the baseline. That is the common denominator where every person, no matter what level of spirituality they find themselves on, you're not allowed to say those words on Shabbos. Do for me a malacha. Turn on the lights. Cook for me food. Do a malacha for me. That is a violation of Yeshayi V'Dabir. So it comes in according to Rashi. It's an amazing thing that the violation of the halacha of Amira La'akum goes back to the time of the Nevi'im. Isn't that incredible? already very Naskim. According to what we just said from the Rambam, the Rambam's takana is a modern takana. Chazal, when the Chazal make the Chazal the prohibition of, when the Chazal enact the prohibition of Amul Yakum? In recent times. What are the recent times? The Anshei Knesses Hagdailah, at the time of the Churban Sheni. So about 2,000 years ago was the very first time when it came into being this takana that you now let halakha do malacha, which would seem to mean that before that point in time, it could very well be the time of the Bayis Sheni. I'm guessing the Anshei Knesset did not formally make the prohibition. People were allowed to tell a goy to do for them malacha, according to the Rambam. That's what it seemed to be. According to Rashi, the prohibition to do malacha, a goy do malacha, predates the Bayis Sheni. It goes back to the time of, it's the middle of the Bayis Rishon, the Daber Dovar. So ancient takana. This takana is much more powerful than almost any other din derabanan. All other din derabanan first came into existence during the time of the Bayis, the tail end of the Bayis Sheni, or during that tkuf of the Bayis Sheni. This prohibition is not even from a Navi, it's not from the Rabbanan, it's from a Navi. It goes way, way back, so it comes out that it's a much more severe, violation. The third answer that we discussed that we read was shlichus. The one who gives shlichus, Rashi mentions this as well as the Ran. It really is attributed to the Ran and the Mordechai, Hagos Maimoni, a long, long list of Achrei, a Rishonim that mention this idea. The Ran, the Mordechai, Hagos Maimoni, Rashi as well, is because of shlichus. Because agency, if I tell a guy do malacha on Shabbos, it's as if I myself have done the malacha. Oh, you'll tell them, but we have a says in the Torah, Kain torimu gam atem ma atem b'nei bris, gam shulichechem b'nei bris. That's right, that's another Eisel level. But the Rabbanon Chazal viewed it to be a din shlichus. If he's doing the malacha, we attribute the malacha to you, you are mechal Shabbos. So therefore, this is the Shittas Haran. So, Psach HaKol, we have three primary reasons why one may not tell a goy to do a malacha from on Shabbos: the Rambam, Rashi, and the Ran. What is the nafkamina? So here, Simcha bun Mekon, Kedarko, in the most beautiful way, he tells us three nafkaminas to bring out the point. For example, if I go to a goy and I say to the on Shabbos, please, Mr. Smith, please turn on the light, do a malacha deraisa. Who's I violate and he turns on the light and do I benefit? According to whom have I violated the law of Amir Liakam? Everyone. I've spoken according to Rashi. I've said words which are not proper. Turn on the light for me, Rashi. I violated the Rambam. Shloite kala be'enav. Shchil Shabbos should not be lightweight in my eyes. And I violated the law according to the Ran. He is my agent. When he turned on the light, it's as if I turned on light. So therefore, when you tell the goy on Shabbos, Dufni Malacha Deraisa, you have violated Amir Yaakov according to all three opinions. What happens if I tell a goy to do a malacha for me after Shabbos? Say to the goy, please, turn on the lights when Shabbos is over. So, have I violated the law according to the Rambam? No. Because Chil Shabbos has not been done. I have not witnessed. You'll argue with me, but by saying it, it's also a zilzul in Shabbos. Not necessarily. Maybe you're right, but it's not a significant the Chil Shabbos. But if I tell a non-Jew to do malacha for me after Shabbos, I have not experienced Chil Shabbos. So it's not kala be'enof. It's not light with my eyes. But have I spoken, have I said words that are not proper on Shabbos, Kodesh? I have Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's not a time to do malacha. It's not a time to speak about doing malacha.
There's no Chil Shabbos then. This
is, and that's exactly the point. The point is that according to the Shita of Rashi, the Daber Davar, you're not allowed to speak about doing malacha on Shabbos, even for malacha that's been done after Shabbos. I'm not allowed to instruct a non-Jew to do for me a malacha after Shabbos. According to the Rambam, there's nothing has happened. Nothing has happened because Shabbos has not been made lightweight in my eyes because no Chil Shabbos happened. According to the Ran, is your problem of shlichus? No. Because Chil Shabbos did not happen. There is no shlichus issue. But according to Rashi,
you tell him to do something next Shabbos.
Then that can be a little bit worse. Because next Shabbos is like this Shabbos also. It's the same. The next Shabbos is even... Because then you have Kala Be'enav. The next Shabbos, Chil Shabbos taking place. There's also shlichus. And Daber Dover, maybe not. Maybe you're right. According to you tell him next Shabbos, so maybe you have this two and three, but you don't have number one. On this Shabbos itself, it's not kalim. Maybe next Shabbos it is kalim.
Is there shlichus on Shabbos?
What?
Is there shlichus on Shabbos?
Of course. What difference? When it comes, anything. Of course, there's always shlichus. Always shlichus. If you tell a guy to do malacha, kinyan works on Shabbos also. Kinyan works. If you do make a kinyan, it works. You're not supposed to because it's mekach memkar. It's a midrabban. You're not allowed to engage in business, but it works. So I think it's next Shabbos you're in violation of all three. A third example. Let us say you tell a guy during the weekday, I ask a non-Jew on Friday, please come to my home tomorrow on Shabbos and turn on the lights. So has there been a violation of a Dabra Davar? Have you violated the words of Yeshaya? No. Yeshaya says on Shabbos you should not talk words of Chil Shabbos. I have given the instructions before Shabbos. So Yeshaya is happy. There's no Dabra Davar. Is there shlichus? Is there shlichus? Yes, there is. If I tell a non-Jew to do malach on Friday, on Shabbos, and he does it on Shabbos he's doing the malach for me, it goes back to me, it's as if I were Mechal Shabbos. And as far as shalotei kalab enough, that applies.
Yeah.
So in this example, you have number one and three, but you don't have two. In the example of asking a guy to do malach for you on Shabbos for after Shabbos, you have two, but you don't have one and three. And when you tell a guy to do malach on Shabbos mamish, you have one, two, and three. So this is the first chapter. Okay, I summarize the first chapter in a nutshell: three reasons why amiru la'akum is aser, the shita of the Rambam shleitei kala be'enav, the shita of Rashi of the daber dover, which takes us back to the time of Yeshaya, the shita of the Ran being shlichus. Nafkaminas are if you tell a guy to melacha for you on Shabbos for after Shabbos, or you tell him to melacha for you before Shabbos on Shabbos. So then you're only going to have either one and three, or you're going to have just two. And I'm certain if you go look hard enough, you're always going to find different scenarios where you'll have one without the other. We take into consideration halacha, all three are as big equal, and therefore we have to follow the rules of what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, now let's go to the next chapter. Next chapter is a very, very, very good chapter. It really clarifies everything which I didn't understand in a very amazing way. There is a fundamental difference between, there are three different types of benefit one gets from a malacha. This is critical. This what we're learning now, this yisoid is critical to understand. You know this clearly, everything follows from this principle. When a guy does the malacha, there are three types of benefit one can derive from a malacha. The terminology he uses is direct benefit, indirect benefit, and additional benefit. Okay, three English terms he invented to describe malacha, and everything is downhill. Direct, indirect, additional. What is direct? Where the benefit you derive is a direct result from Chilul Shabbos. Two simple examples. Turn on the lights. It's pitch black dark in this room. I can't see anything. I can't read. I can't move. I can't do anything. I need the light. The non-Jew turns on the light. Let's assume now he lights a candle or an incandescent bulb or even a fluorescent. He says to me, I'm going off on a tangent now. It's an important tangent to make note. It's not really relevant too much anymore because the fluorescent bulb is on the way out. Fluorescent bulbs, the Olam says, is not called Ish. People right. Say that you can't make Havdalah in the fluorescent bulb. That's not so simple. Let's assume that is correct. Just because fluorescent bulb is not called Ish, turning on a fluorescent bulb is a Chil Shabbos de'oraisa. Turning on an incandescent bulb is both. It's Chil Shabbos d'oraisa, and it's also called Eish. Turning on a fluorescent bulb is Chil Shabbos d'oraisa, but it's not Eish. Why? Because when you turn on a fluorescent bulb, you are heating up something in the fluorescent bulb to a very, very high temperature, which has the status of a pechem of a coal, and that in turn ignites gas, which provides illumination. So the illumination is not called or. It's not called ish. It's not fire. It's not ish. But the way you got there was through heating up metal to a very high degree, which is a Chil Shabbos d'oraisa. So even though you may not necessarily make
what avon lav does it fall on?
What? Eish. Havara.
No, heating up
a piece of metal to a very high temperature is on havara. Havara.
Havara. Even though there's no fire.
Even though there's no fire, a cold. Feirush gemara. A cold. If you have a piece of metal and the piece of metal becomes red hot, that's called eish.
Okay.
Therefore, even though a fluorescent bulb may not be used for havdalah, you cannot say borei me'orei ha'eish on the light that comes from a fluorescent bulb. But in order to ignite that gas to produce that glow, which for us is light, but it's not a light in halacha, you need to heat up a teeny little filament inside the fluorescent bulb to a very high degree, which is a melacha deraisa of esh, of havara. An incandescent bulb is even worse, because in the incandescent bulb, not only are you heating up a piece of metal to a very high temperature, it is that filament which itself is providing for you illumination.
Because it's heating up.
What?
If you use a chemical,
so LED. So LED appears to be not a melacha deraisa. LED says the LED. What?
These chemical sticks. You mix two chemicals.
No, that's not deraisa. That's like LED. That's like LEDs. No, it's not. That's not deraisa. It's not. Is there anything wrong doing it? I don't know. Probably not necessarily. I don't know the answer.
You're not even heating up a piece of metal.
I don't know the answer. No, you're not. LED appears not to be a melacha deraisa. You turn on an LED light, there is nothing in there that is being heated to the point of yad soledes. You have to know the technologies. There are different types of LEDs. Some of them do get very hot. You have to know, I don't know the technologies, the new one, every day it's getting more and more advanced. So I don't know 100%. You want to learn about this, you want to wear a monitor. I didn't even have a computer monitor. The price have come way, way down now on computer monitors. So they have LED backlit, something called IPS. There are like 10 different versions of IPS. The best monitors are what's called the IPS LED backlit monitors. These, the LED, there are like 10 different varieties of the technology of the IPS backlit LED. The main afkamina for people who are buying this is angle. You know, you look at the old screens, the laptop, so you only can see it clearly when you look at it right in front of you. Let's say you're at the side, you can't see it so well. Some bedafka want that, it's like in a bank, you don't want people to see your business when you go in an ATM machine, uh-huh. No one should see. So that was an advantage. But when you're at home, and you're sitting around the screen, it's not necessarily an advantage when you can't see it on an angle. You want to see it only when you're right in front of you. So there's a lot of technology involved. And it could very well be that this difference in technology of the LED, which is changing all the time, has nafkamina in how hot it gets and how it works. But the pashtus on the similar sitting is there's no melacha derayis in even turning it on. The only issue is an issue of, and the light for sure is not in halacha called light, it's not called R, so you can't make a bari ma'ari ha'esh, and telling a guy to turn on an LED will have major nafkaminas with zman hazeh, because you're not telling him to do a melacha deraisa. You're only telling him to do a melacha derabanan, and the mela, it becomes a shvus to shvus, which is another topic which we'll get to, but that shvus to shvus, so that is becoming a very big nafkamina, relevant bizman hazeh, the laws of asking a guy to turn on melacha are becoming more lenient bizman hazeh, because it's not a melacha deraisa anymore when you turn on an LED light, and LEDs basically have replaced.
You ask a guy to use your smartphone, is a smartphone a light?
A smartphone, turning on a smartphone is not deraisa. No question about it. It's not LED. You're right. It's not a deraisa. I always told you that it's going to be, I'm always predicting is that what's going to be in 10, 15 years from now when there's going to be no such thing as a book. Everything's going to be a tablet. It's just going to be everything. So the question over here is, people are going to challenge, is it really awesome? Like today we don't need it, so it's not an issue by us. We have Siddur, we have Sfarim, it's not an issue. But if it will come a time in society where books don't exist, and we're getting there, books just don't exist. Everything is just, I don't know, whatever. It's holograms, and it's just. So then people, there's no question that poskim are going to be squeezed. They're going to be squeezed very, very hard to clarify, is it really usur? Is it really forbidden to do this on Shabbos? I'll give you just one example. Look at the cameras. Okay, you have cameras. Wherever you turn, there's a camera. When they first started with cameras, they were poiskim, Gedolei Yisrael, that said, you're not allowed to walk in a place where there's a camera. There were people that did not go to the Kosel HaMaravi.
Right.
I'm talking about major poiskim that today we live on. They paskin. You're not allowed to go to the Kosel. This goes back 30 years ago. technically install cameras. Who had a camera? They installed a camera at the Kosel HaMaravi. You're not allowed to go to the Kosel HaMaravi because there's a camera, and the camera is recording your every move, and it's a form of kesiva. You are involved in kesiva on Shabbos. And even though it's not the Raisa, everyone agrees it's not the Raisa, it's not Mamash Rani, but it's Me'in Kesiva, and very, very accept Paiskin that are very well accepted, Paskin that it's also. Now today, this has fallen to the wayside because you can't live if you can't live on this psak. Wherever you walk in the street, you're being recorded by at least 10, 20 cameras. So Moshe, this is also a very big problem. And you should know there's also another reason. The police have become very lenient with motion detectors. It's shocking. I've read some recent shulis lately about motion detectors, some very lenient piskei halach, very, 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 very high-level piskeim, that in many situations with the motion detectors, just mind your own business. You do what's yours. Even though you know that there are motion detectors that are sensing your move and causing things to happen, as long as you have no kavana, I can't give you any specific example, but I have no doubt that 10 years ago, it would have been usur. It would have been completely usur. So what has changed? Well, halacha changed. Halacha doesn't change. The difference was that 10, 15 years ago, it was rare. It was very rare. It doesn't look right that when you move, things happen, or things you're being recorded, and if you can avoid it, so avoid it. Why enter into the shaila? And it was very, very easy to avoid. It was so rare. It was just a theoretical question. When today it's become so practical, and so it's forced upon you to such a degree, poskim are really being squeezed very, very hard to analyze the halacha in very, very, very good detail, and to clarify, is it really indeed usur? Or is there grounds to make? And a lot of these things, like, it's going to become a very, very big problem as time goes on with regard to all this new technology. Like even the refrigerators. The refrigerators today, like we said, you know, the very, very big problem. Any new refrigerator you buy, like we mentioned, is full of all different sensors and psik ratio, the yilang of the rabbanans and this and that. It's getting very, very complex. So in any event, in some ways it's better. In some ways technology is better because turning on lights, it used to be a melacha deraisa, turning on lights now is only in the rabbanan if you're dealing with an LED light. Okay, now let's go back to this principle. It's a very important principle. So there's a melacha deraisa where you derive direct benefit from the melacha. It's pitch black dark, the guy turns on the light, I now walk into the room, I have illumination, I can walk around, I'm deriving direct benefit from what the non-Jew did by turning on an incandescent bulb. Let's say I want a hot cup of coffee, and the water is cold water, and the non-Jew, he turns on the urn, he boils for me water. The only reason why I have hot water, I can dissolve the coffee, I have hot water, I have coffee, is because the non-Jew, he made for me the coffee. That's a melacha. So I'm deriving direct benefit from the melacha. This is usur. This category one is the schmitz. There's no room to wiggle with regard to this category. Make it very, very clear. And therefore, you're not allowed to tell a guy to do for you such a melacha where you derive direct benefit. And if you say nothing to the non-Jew, nothing whatsoever, and the non-Jew does it for you, you know for a fact that he did it for me, it is usur to derive benefit. I may not derive benefit because the bottom line is, it's Shalot Rambam. Shalot Kal Be'enof. Chil Shabbos was done for me. Was there Vedaber Dover? No. Was there Shlichos? No. I didn't tell him to do it. But was there a violation of the Rambam that Shabbos now has become Kal in my eyes because a non-Jew did for me Malacha? Yes. Okay, so it is forbidden.
The boy comes in and turns on the urn.
For you. If
he
turns
on the urn.
For who's he turning it on for?
He turns it on.
For who?
He came into the shul in the morning.
If he turned it on for you, it is also even if I'm not mistaken, even if he turns it on for you and for him, he seems to say if his primary, even though he derives benefit, but if he's primarily putting it on for you, it's also no good. Mm. If it's 50-50, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's 50-50, it's for everyone, but if it's a chosh of a person here. Or he says what he says. He says that he's primarily doing it for the Jew, even though non-Jews are bent like himself. Then I have to clarify. Maybe for himself, it seems like it's primarily for the Jew. He seems to say it's awesome. If the benefit is a direct benefit, hinting is no difference. Hinting doesn't come into the picture over here. You go hint, go do. Oh, it's too bad. I don't have a cup of coffee today. So now he turns it on. So what? So you hinted to him. There's no difference hinting to him if it was saying nothing. If he does for you a malacha de'iraisa, for which, and the Rabban also, There is no, let me clarify, there is no difference in this halacha whether it's the Oraisa or even the Rabbanan. If a non-Jew does for you a malacha, the Oraisa or the Rabbanan, and the benefit that you derive is direct, it is usur for you to derive benefit, and you have to wait until Shabbos of Bechdei Sheyasu. The only difference between the Rabbanan, the Oraisa is the Oraisa, you need, it's usur Mitzvah Shabbos. It's also a Mitzvah Shabbos for everyone, Bechdei Sheyasu. If it's the Rabbanan Mitzvah Shabbos, it's only also for you, Bechdei Sheyasu. Someone else can derive benefit immediately. But it's a very severe violation. Here is where now we're going to get into the limit. Now, by the way, when I tell you over here it's also, there are going to be exceptions, of course. Let's let that waiting for. We're not dealing with a chayla. We're not yet dealing with hefse meruba. We're not yet dealing with cold and heat. We're not dealing with children. We're not up to all of the exceptions. All of dvar mitzvah. We're not up to the except. But let's get the basic principle, the basic yisod. The number two is indirect benefit. Okay, now this is a major loophole in the laws of Shabbos. And when you appreciate this, it's a whole new ball game. Turning off lights. A non-Jew turns off an incandescent bulb or any light is an Isser Derabbanan. No question about it. It's a category 5. Category 5 Isser Derabbanan, turning off a light. The benefit that I get from the guy turning off a light, is that called direct or is that called indirect? Indirect. I'm saving money, okay? Or I can't fall asleep. The lights are on. The lights are glaring. So I turn off the lights. So now the lights are up. Am I getting benefit from the light? I'm getting benefit. He did a malacha. He violated Shabbos. He turned off the light. Now there's no light. So what's the benefit? The absence of the light. He didn't make coffee for me. He made the coffee. I'm having enough from the malacha. He didn't turn on the light. I'm having enough of the light. He turned off the light. So what is the benefit that I derive? Indirect benefits. Uh-huh. Okay, another example of
Depends how you define dark.
What?
Depends how you define with dark.
What do you mean?
Dark a creation or is dark
the light? Okay, for our purpose, it's an absent of light. Okay, so when a guy does this type of malacha, where the benefit is... The benefit is indirect, then here are the rules. The rules are, I am not allowed to tell him to do it.
Right.
But, if he does it for me, on his own, I'm allowed to have pleasure. If the non-Jew, he turns off, he turns off the lights. These are good examples over here.
I'm not talking about a light bulb. What about fluorescent or LED? That's much easier, no?
No, LED is the same prohibition. The turn off an LED is still an Issur Derabbanan. Turning on off an LED is accepted by the Pesachim to be an Issur Derabbanan.
What's the Issur Derabbanan? There's no metal eating
it's,
up?
It's electric circuits, playing around with electricity. Any electrical circuit is accepted to be Issur Derabbanan. That's what's accepted. Turning on and off electrical devices is something which is also midrabbana.
Maybe a spark.
No spark. There's no sparks. Spark is deraisa. Spark can be a deraisa. Circuits dealing with electrical devices. What's the longest? Why? I told you. I told you that Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He really wanted to be matter. Sakhalach is going to haunt us, because when they come to all this technology, why can you use a smartphone? Why can you use a tablet? Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says that really electricity is mutter. They're going to pull out that tshuva. They're going to stop playing around with that. No, wait 10 years. It's going to be a big machlokes.
He said general electricity when is mutter.
It's not mutter. The bottom line is it's usser. It's accepted.
Maybe usser.
Or whatever it is, turning off a light is considered to be an indirect benefit. So the nafkamina is you're not allowed to tell the guy to do this, but if the guy did it for you, he did it. I can now draw benefit. If, and also what else? Here is where you're allowed to hint. In these situations, you're allowed to tell the non-Jew, oh, what a shame. I really wanted to take a nap, but there's too much light in the room. I'm hinting. So what does the guy do now? Oh, he turns off the lights. So the guy did a malacha for me at my hint, at my request.
Yeah.
Mutter. I'm basically telling the goyim, and this is not for a mitzvah. No mitzvah here. No mitzvah, no sickness, no mitzvah, no nothing. No, we're not getting any. We're doing over here a dvar reshus, being that the benefit is indirect. The only prohibition is for me to explicitly ask him to do. But if he does it for me on his own, or I hint, or I tell him before Shabbos, I tell the non-Jew, listen, you come tomorrow and you turn off the lights. You come tomorrow to shul and you turn off the lights. Just to save money. No mitzvah, no nothing. We want to save money in the shul, turn off the lights. And it's not a hefsid merubah. It's not a hefsid merubah. It's a small loss. You're allowed to tell the guy before Shabbos because the malacha you're going to derive is indirect. Okay, that is now. Then we come to the category number three, which is pretty much the same. Maybe it's a little bit more lenient. And that is what he calls this additional benefit. The guy is in do malacha, but I don't need the malacha. The malacha is only an enhancement. The classic example is it's the room. It's dark. But there's enough light to get by.
Right.
The emergency light is on. There's light from outside, from the street. There's enough light in the room. The bathroom light is on.
Well, at the dining room, there's candles, but the electricity went off.
Right, there's candles. So I can eat, I can get by, there's no problem. And now I want the guy does now, and now the question is, the guy walks into the home and he sees, oh, it's dark, and he turns on the lights for you. He turns on the lights. And, oh, now I have that full light. So am I allowed to derive benefit? So since this malacha is something which was not necessary, I could have survived without this malacha, I'm allowed to derive benefit. I'm even allowed to be merames.
Even real ish,
you're allowed to be
it's
merames.
Just an asafa, just an additional benefit.
Okay, so these are the basic three principles of the halacha, and now we get into different examples. So again, these gates, so you say this are direct malacha is also in every single situation. Indirect malacha and additional is where there are rules, there are grounds to be lenient if he does it for you, or at the very least you are allowed to be merames. The merames through now. You know,
suppose the water is like in an urn and it's not hot enough. But
so actually, discuss.
Can you tell the guy to turn it higher.
You can be merames if the food is edible the way it is. The cholent is warm, but it's not steaming hot, and you like it steaming hot. But it's okay. It's warm. You can eat it. So you are allowed to be merames to turn up the heat. To turn up the heat to make it hotter.
Make it more. Let's say shut off.
What?
Let's say shut off.
If it's right, you didn't turn it on.
Loud.
If right now you come to shul in the morning, very common, and the oven went off. That went off.
Loud.
And the food is somewhere in the middle. So the question now, first of all, when it comes to a kid, we can discuss that. When it comes to a kiddush, let's assume now that it's the main part of the kiddush. It's the main part, it's the meat. It has to be the meat or fish, he writes here. The main part, that's called the tzarech mitzvah. That is called the tzarech mitzvah. For a shul Shabbos, and you're allowed to tell the tzarech mitzvah is an exception. You're allowed to tell a guy to do a malacha for you the tzarech mitzvah. The shita of the Baal HaItur. This is the famous sheet of the Baal HaItur. He says even one shvus is enough. Many, many of the achronim, the poskim, are achilik on the Baal HaItur, and they say you're not allowed. Now, where does the Baal HaItur get his source from? From Mila, Rabbi Elez de Mila. Unless the middle day, you're allowed to be mechal. The Gemara says the Pharisee, you're allowed to tell the guy to bring the baby, to bring the knife to the baby. So you see from there, litzarich mitzvah, Pharisee Gemara, that if you do not have a knife, you're allowed to have a non-Jew bring the knife to the place of Mila.
Even through Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
Even through Rosh Hashanah, so the Baal is from that, you see litzarich mitzvah, you're allowed to be mechala, you allow it a shvus, a miulakum is muta.
Can you have the guy bring the baby to the?
So that's the farshah's question. Why don't we do that? Wouldn't that be better? Bring the baby to the guy would not necessarily be a malacha, chayin ayis yas asa, but not by an infant. So
the housekeeper usually have a housekeeper somewhere.
Well, that we discussed, that whole discussion, can we do that with Sach Mitzvah? We discussed that before. So, some rely upon that. I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to hold on that. So, some Mitzvah, I'm saying you can do it. We don't, that's the machlok, that's the proper thing to do. Okay, so if this is the Baal Sefer. Many say you should not take advantage. We don't always pass him different opinions, like the Baal Iter. And therefore, only when it's essential, only when it's something that's very essential, it's a real Dvar Mitzvah. There are many madrigos of Dvar Mitzvah. And if it's an essential Dvar Mitzvah, then you are allowed to tell the guy to do the Malacha. But certainly, if you're in a situation where Bidi Eved, you can get by without the Malacha being done. The fire on the oven went out. The Chalent is warm. It's not steaming hot. And this is the main part of the meal. There's meat in the Chalent. If there's meat in the Chalent, it solves a lot of problems. Because the Poskim only mention that the Suda Shabbos, you're allowed to have a Goyis Mitzvah, Suda Shabbos, only fish and meat. Kugel is not called a Dvar Mitzvah. That's what it says. Kugel, salad,
dips.
All these things, the only thing that is called Dvar Mitzvah related to Suda Shabbos is Yayin for Kiddush, Lechem Mishnah, to bring Lechem Mishnah, meat and fish. V'zehu, side dishes, kugel, dessert is not in halacha viewed in the category of a Dvar Mitzvah, so there's no heter whatsoever to tell a guy to bring the dessert. The dessert was left out in the car. Here are the keys, open the car, bring the dessert in. Opening up the car violates many Yisum de Rabbanan. Opening the lights go on, and the horn goes on, and this goes on, that goes on. Going through a Carmelist, what?
That's another
very good. You're talking about a psychoration in a moment. You say very good. So opening the door, you're right. My talk will be a little better, coming in one moment. So you're not allowed to, because dessert, l'chol ha-deos, is not considered to be a Dvar Mitzvah. Oynig Shabbos is not considered in the laws of Milakim a Dvar Mitzvah. It is awesome. But meat, fish, Lechem Mishnah, Yayin is called Dvar Mitzvah, and you can ask a guy outright, bring me the fish, at least in the Rabbanan, do a Melacha the Rabbanan in order for me to derive benefit.
We're live on the Baal Iter.
Yes. It's, especially when it's a Dvar Mitzvah, it's in the Rabbanan, for sure you can rely upon it. But let's say it's not, it's not essential. It's not essential, but you don't need the guy to do it. You don't need it, and the guy does it. So can you derive benefit? Let's say let's say you have a parva chalent, I would have not been permitted to tell the non-Jew to plug in the oven, to plug in the heater, to bring up the temperature, because it's parv. There's no meat. It's not dvar mitzvah, but it's still warm. It's warm. I was anyway going to eat it in its state, this current state. Okay. The guy walks in and he sees that it's off. He plugs it in. So if he was done for me malacha deraisa, which I could not derive, I otherwise could not have derived benefit from, and he did, and he didn't derive bond, I would be awesome. But since anyway I was going to eat it, it was warm enough, and now he just on his own, he did a malacha for me, and now it enhances my pleasure, mutter. That is not, even though I'm deriving direct benefit from what he has done, I'm deriving benefit from the heat that he has added to the food, which is a direct, called direct, since I could have gotten away with it, that is considered, that is mutter.
Even that remisa, even that remes?
Only der here, der remisa is also mutter. Okay, now let's just discuss it. Every time.
What about in the bathroom, the Shabbos light, the small light, which is Eish, is closed?
Let's talk about the exceptions. Covered habrios. If you can't use the bathroom, the light in the bathroom is off, and there's no way to use the bathroom unless he turns on the light, there's an exception called covered habrios. Now let's discuss some of the exceptions. You're allowed to tell a guy to do a malacha deraisa for you, outright, mebnei covered habrios. That means clothing. Let's say your clothing rip. You're in shul, and your pants snap. So how are you going to go home? So you lie, and the only way you can go home is to have the guy go and bring for you a clothing from your home, and he has to pass to a Yeshus HaRabim D'Oraisa. He has to Molocha D'Oraisa. you're allowed to tell the guy to bring me my clothing from home and divide them nacha deraisa b'nei kavod habrios.
Okay, bathroom.
Bathroom is also the category of kavod habrios. Any need a child has under the age of 3 years, a chayla she'ein by sakana, you're allowed to tell the guy to do malacha deraisa. A chayla she'ein by sakana, whatever they need. A child under the age of 3 years or old is automatically the healthiest child, is in the category of a chayla she'ein by sakana. A child under the age of 3 years old wants something, he wants the light on. He wants the light to be on, he's scared of the dark. He's less than 3 years old, that's like a chayla she'ein by sakana, the guy, you can call a guy to come and turn the light on for the child. A child over the age of 9 years old, in halacha, is not a chayla she'ein by sakana. He can scream his head off. You're not allowed to call the guy to turn on the light for the child. Between 3 and 9, all depends on the maturity and the age of a child. Okay, what other exception? Dvar mitzvah. As I told you, dvar mitzvah has to be a significant mitzvah, which includes davening, anything related to davening. I need a sitter. So he's allowed to get you a sitter from a Rishus Rabin. That's, I told you, when it comes to a Suuda, that includes only the wine, the Lechem Mishnah, and the meat, and the meat and the fish. And another exception is cold and heat, which he explicitly says refers to even air conditioning, even though air conditioning is not mentioned in the Gemara. Cold and heat, you're allowed to call the guy to adjust the temperature of the air conditioning. Now there's another leniency of Amir Liakum, and that is psikresha. It's less than we rest tomorrow, next time. That is psikresha. Tell the guy, open up the refrigerator. Open up the refrigerator door. So what's going to happen when you open up the refrigerator door? The light's going to go on. I'm telling the guy on Shabbos, please open up the refrigerator door. I want to get something inside. And I know by him opening up the refrigerator door, the light is going to go on. So the benefit I'm going to derive, first of all, the benefit I'm going to derive is, it's really indirect, because I don't really need. They have to construct the case.
Well, you can see your food.
Yeah, I have to
construct. You don't need a light.
What?
You can see your food in there.
You don't even need it.
Well,
but you have to find a better application, and that is, even though
open
you're telling him to do something,
if
the dover sheinu mischaving, are we allowed to open the refrigerator door? No, because when we open up the refrigerator door, the light goes on. Oh, you'll say, but that's not my kavana. It's a dover sheinu mischaving. I have no kavana for this. So you technically may be correct, but the bottom line is, since this is a direct result of your actions, sick ratio of loyamos, you're going to chop off the head of the chicken that's not going to die, it is usher for you to do an action which will result in the chilul Shabbos. You only have to be machmer for yourself. You don't have to be machmer by a guy. A guy, if it's not his kavana to do the molacha, even though the molacha will result directly, it's mutter. So I can tell the guy, please open up the refrigerator. I want to get something inside the refrigerator. And you know, by telling him to do that, and this is not for a mitzvah. This is for nothing. This is for nothing. This is just, I'm thirsty, and then I can go take a drink from somewhere else. There's no mitzvah involved over here. I'm telling the guy, Michal Shabbos. I'm telling the guy. Didn't we learn before, tell the guy, Michal Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that, and you're not allowed to tell, only even when it comes to indirect. Even when it comes to additional benefit, that's only when the guy does it for you. Now will you actually tell him to do it. But here, I'm not telling him to turn on the light. I'm telling him to open up the door. It just so happens that when you open up the door, something happens. The light goes on. For a Jew, a davar she'enay mischaven, sometimes it's aser, sometimes it's mutter. If it's not a guarantee that it's going to happen, it's mutter, even for a Jew. If it's a guarantee, well, machmir, you're not allowed to do it. But a guy doesn't have to be machmir. A guy is not machmir. So you're allowed to tell the guy, open up the refrigerator, when you know good and well, by opening up the door, which is not a malach in and of itself, it's a psik resha that the light goes on. And once the light is on, are you allowed to tell the guy to take out the light bulb? To take out the light bulb or to tape down the light? The answer is, b'derech remiza, yes. Because this is now an indirect benefit. It's indirect. When the light, every time you turn off a light, that is by definition indirect, because now the light is off. I can now proceed to open and close the door myself. I don't need to get him involved anymore. So then you can be mirames. Oh, the light is on. I can't close the door of the refrigerator. So maybe something can be done.
The door? Doesn't the compressor kick in? Isn't that an indirect?
Not at that moment in time. That's why it's mutter, because it's not a guarantee that the moment you open up the door, that moment in time it's going to go on. It takes time for the thermostat, it takes time for the temperature to change, and the thermostat to recognize this, and the thermostat to pick it up and to kick in. So it's a grumma. It's a grumma, and it's also a davar shem. I don't care about the compressor. It's a grumma. It's not a psikoresha. It's not going to happen at this moment in time. I close it right away also. It's not a guarantee it's going to go on. Rav Moshe Feinstein, going back already, how many years ago? 30, 40, 50 years ago, he had a custom-made refrigerator where the compressor was on a clock. The compressor went on, went off, went on, and off. They designed because he did not want to rely upon this. Rav Moshe himself, 30, 40 years ago, recognized that a refrigerator is a nightmare in halacha. And therefore, his personal refrigerator was on a clock, a compressor, on, off. It had nothing to do when he turned to opens the door. There was no thermostat.
I grew up, my mother used to... The thermostat was in the basement. Yeah. My mother, when it was, would go over to the window, open the window in the room with a thermostat, and indirectly the thermostat would kick in, the heat would go on in the rest of the house.
So you're asking,
it's the same
also.
Idea.
What? So it's indirect. It's obviously not, if you do with a kavana to do this, if your kavana is to open the window in order to cause the thermostat to change, to kick in, it's not also in HaTorah, but it's also in the Rabbanah. You're doing
you
a grumma.
I
have to live. I know I have to live my life. I have to go. I have to open up the window, go in and out of the house. So Menela, the Shem is going to change. It's a Dover Hashem Mishavim. It's not happening immediately. It's happening over a delayed period of time. And it's a grumma. Then it's mutter. It's 100% mutter. So Moshe did not want to rely upon that. And that's why he had
why?
A custom made. He had a custom. Because he was machmer for himself. He was machmer for
so
himself.
People are machmer when it comes to grumma now.
Is there anyone you've seen today that doesn't open a refrigerator on Shabbos?
Yes, I've seen it. They wait until the motor goes back.
Okay.
The compressor.
Ovens. Now, a refrigerator is better because a refrigerator, when the compressor goes on, according to most poskim, it's only also midrabanan. An oven is much, much more problematic. And I'll give you your case, because an oven is havara. If you have an oven that's on, it's on Shabbos, and it's on a thermostat, and you open up, you pull the down door open, and then that caused the fire to go on. Fire is a melacha d'oraisa. So an oven is much, much more serious. The groma of opening up an oven and having the fire go on, the delayed reaction is much, much more severe than opening up a refrigerator, because the opening up an oven leads to a d'oraisa. Opening up a refrigerator leads to a d'rabbanan.
Same thing as turning on the faucet for hot water. Right?
Exactly. Are you allowed to tell you, besides that example, are you allowed to tell the guy to turn on the hot, give me, I want a hot cup of water. Give me from, give me hot. So what's the problem opening hot cup of water when you take out hot water from top, what happens? Cold bishel, cold water,
boiling, yeah.
Cold water comes from the from
goes
the pipe.
Always.
It goes in. No, always. You see, it's the pressure.
Pressure.
So the cold water
always comes in. When you take out water, when you turn on the hot, it doesn't matter. But the cold water is being boiled. There's no difference heating heat to fire, heat to hot water. When you turn on the hot water, it's a big, big problem. When you take out hot water from your on the full tap water, what happens? So let's say there's a blackout, okay? No electricity. So the thermostat's not, the water tank's not going to go on. It's the heat is not going to go on. But right now you have a tank of boiling hot water. When you turn on, take the faucet and you take hot water in your sink, what happens? That hot water that you've taken out is replaced with cold water that comes in from the pipe. That cold water enters.
I don't think it's direct. I think there's a flow.
No, instantly. There's pressure. It instantly comes in, replenishes. It instantly, maybe even with more high-tech electronic water tanks. The common water tank is there's no gadget that controls the water. It's a pressure. There's a certain sensor of pressure. When water is taken out from the faucet, automatically more water comes into the hot water tank. The water that comes into the hot water tank is cold. The water in the tank is boiling hot. The boiling hot water of the water tank instantly cooks, raises the temperature of the new water that's come into the pipe to a temperature above Yat Soledespo. Without the thermostat, without the fire, the go going on. What?
don't think so. I think
yeah. No,
sometimes I take a shower. Sometimes the water is very hot. Sometimes you take
that's the thermostat. No, the thermostat is playing around. The thermostat is playing around. But even when the water is not very hot, even the water, I know exactly when the water is not very hot, is it above Yat's Levispo? It usually is. It usually is above above 110 degrees. It usually, even it ranges from 110 to 130, 140. It ranges. But let's say, let's say right now on the lowest, it's still very hot. When you take some water out, cold water comes in. That cold water is a mashuhu relative to the tank. The tank is very, very hot. That heat of the tank will instantly, within 3 seconds, cause the cold water that came into the tank to become above Yad Soledes. That is Bishul D'Oraisa. Bishul D'Oraisa is not just with fire, even with cold water. So for a Jew to turn on to hot water, you're dealing with mamish, a shayla of bish. Now it's a davish and mischavim. You can't see the person who turns on first to go open up hot water is chayim because that's not my kavana. I want hot water. I care what's going on in the basement. I couldn't care less. It's not my problem. But it's a psik resha. So it's 100% usser. Usser, even though it's not my kavana. But a goy is not machmir on psik resha. Since when is a goy machmir on psik resha? So you're allowed to tell a goy to turn on the hot water. Because by telling the guy to turn on the hot water, he's kavan is the hot water. He's not having kavan to cook water. That's a psik reisha. No, it's not my problem. It's not his problem. So therefore, that is a leniency in the laws of Amira
La'akam. You got to tell him explicitly for the guy to turn on the hot water?
It's if you need it. Not for fun. If there is a need, even if it's not l'dvar mitzvah, it's not a dvar mitzvah. It's still a shtigl zilzal. It's still so you have to deal with the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's a zil, but it's a psik resha. It's not the Rambam. The Rambam is to do malacha mamish. This is not malacha mamish. This is an indirect malacha. So even if it's not a mitzvah, but if you have a need, I want it. I want. I'll feel more comfortable. You're allowed to tell the guy to turn on the hot water. You're allowed to tell the guy open the refrigerator. Open the refrigerator. Turn on the hot water. Now, once it's done, now the refrigerator, take out the bulb. Oh, take out the bulb. That's mamashi telling you to do malacha. Then you have to be merames. Taking out the bulb is not a grama. That's a malacha deraisa. That's a direct malacha to extinguish the nair. Then you have to be merames to turn off the bulb. But to open the door, you don't need a remes. Because you're telling him to do the dvar mutter. Memela, psik resha.
You could tell the garden and wash the dishes with hot water?
I'm sure. To wash, no. So you allow him to wash the dishes. If he chooses on his own to use hot water, it's mutter. Okay, we'll do this more next time. We have no time. We'll take a short, very short break, and we'll continue this.